Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 17 is where I'd like to turn your attention. Praise the Lord. My topic today is really a spinoff of, we have a Bible study at my house on Sundays at 6 p.m. and we've been watching a DVD series with Brother Irvin Baxter on knowing your Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. So some of what I've got this morning is from that. Some of this was inspired by our prayer meeting on Monday night. It's just things that are relative to right now that have examples for us in the Bible. I'd like to, if I could give you just a piece of what God has given me, then God will bless your life. Amen. Amen. The Word will open up your understanding. Praise the Lord. I pray that God would help us today to know His Word, His will, and His way. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let me begin to read there at verse number 26. 1 Samuel 17, verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why hast thou come down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness, and the naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Amen. I'd like to try to convey what David was thinking and what he did today for our benefit. Lord, I love you. Oh, the topic. It's two things. The enemy. Someone say enemy. The enemy and worship. Someone say worship. Amen. The enemy and worship. Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask even now that in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would expound here on your word. Open our understanding. I pray that you would put words in my mouth, that you would open our hearing, God, that our hearts, Lord, would be ready to receive your word. Help us, Lord, to receive it. Lord, I pray your anointing, Lord, upon us. Lord, your word is already anointed, God. You gave it to us. I pray that we would receive it today. Lord, that your will would be accomplished in this place. Lord, in this people. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The Word of God is just so very full of very good examples of how that God helps His people. How that there are people, there was then and is now, people that want to serve the Lord. And how that God is with them in that effort. In fact, I'd like to use David, this portion of Scripture and more yet to come, as an example of what God was doing. I'd like to use David to show us something very special today. Amen. I know that God is with us. I know that God is for us. I know that His Word is true. Amen. Let me continue to read in this story. It's an amazing story. Picking up at the very next verse, verse number 30, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 30. And he turned from him toward another, and spake after this manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. He was the king. And he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Let me pause for just a moment. They had been there for a long time. That giant of a soldier, of a man, would come out 9 feet tall, clad from his head to his foot in brass and mail, in armor. He was a fearful sight. He'd come out every day, and he would curse the armies. He would curse their God. He would say bad things about them. He would challenge them. "Send me a man. Send me a man that we would fight." He's challenging them. His army, the Philistines behind him, and in front of him, the armies of Israel. An army to army stood on that hill day and day and day after day, being cursed and challenged by the wickedness and the perverseness of this mountain of a man, a giant named Goliath. Man, there's a whole bunch of opposition in our world today. Whole bunch of things come against us today. Whole bunch of things are there day after day. Cursing, swearing, perverse things are being said. And Saul said to David, verse number 33, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine." They didn't believe in him. He was a youth, a young man. "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." He had great experience. He was a fearful sight. Most men wouldn't want to step out on that field against him. In fact, no man in the entirety of the army of Israel volunteered to go fight this giant. Nobody. David said unto Saul, verse 34, "Thy servant," he's going to give him a little glimpse of his experience with the power of God on his side. "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock." Verse 35, "And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth." He saved the sheep. "And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him." Pretty ambitious, I think. You won't catch a lion by the hair on his chin? That's pretty bold. But he did. That's what the word said. That's what David said. He smote him and killed them. Killed a lion and killed a bear. I wouldn't want to fight either one of them critters. But David did. Because of the Lord's anointing upon him. When the Lord is on your side, you can fight battles that you were not able to fight before. When the Lord is on your side, the foe will not win. Amen. When the Lord is on your side, there's miracles that will happen. Amen. Verse 35 said he slew him. Verse 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Somebody has to stop him. Somebody has to stand up against this perverse person. Somebody has to stand up for God. For God's people and for the name of the Lord. Is there not a cause? Verse 37, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. I'll tell you what, when God has brought you through the battle before, when God has delivered your life before, when God has healed your body before, when God has brought you out of sin, when God has cleaned you up, when God has changed your mind, when God has did things that you could not do yourself, when God has given you miracles and wonders, and God has changed your life, when God has done more than you thought could ever be done, then you know that God is on my side. You can speak with boldness. You can speak with peace in your heart and know that God will see me through. Amen. David is speaking in that manner. He's speaking with experience. He's speaking because God has delivered him from the foe. God has delivered him in adverse conditions. Amen. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor. And he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. I suppose David looked like a miniature Goliath. Clinkety clankety. The Tin Man. A sword that's so big he can't hardly. David never fought in a court of metal before. David never had a coat of mail before. He never armed himself like that before. But Saul thought, you should go out and fight like the other men fight. You should go out to fight and look like an armed warrior. In his mind, you needed all those things to go out and fight. Verse 39, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. He was doubtful. This ain't good. I don't know how to move in this thing. I can't run in this thing. I can't dodge in this. I can't attack. I can't do what I know to do in this thing. For he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. Maybe you don't know how to fight against Satan. You don't know how to fight the public education system. You don't know how to fight the public health system. You don't know how to fight what the doctor says. You don't know how to respond when you get a bad report. You don't know how to come against the things that are coming against you in your life. You don't know how to fix it. You don't know how it is to fight this fight that you are in. Verse number 40. And he took his staff in his hand. He was familiar with that staff. He was a shepherd. He knew how to use a staff. And he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. You know, the stones that he took would fly straight. They were big enough to do damage. They were smooth so that they would be aerodynamic. He was very careful in his choices. He didn't just choose one. He chose 5. Amen. And he put them in his pouch. And he was armed with 5 smooth stones. Amen. And he put him in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. Amen. I had an engineer friend. He was my co-worker. He sat right next to me in my cubicle at work at Electric Boat. And this engineer, we got to talking one day, and I told him about a sermon I had preached with David and Goliath. Amen. And how that David slew him with that stone. And he got to wondering about that. And he goes, really, how effective was that stone? And what would be the impact of that thing? And he said, I'm going to do the engineering calculation on it. And he took the weight of a stone and he calculated the speed of the swing and the distance that they were and the speed that it would travel and the impact it would have. And he did his engineering calculations, and I have them on my computer to this very day. I could show them to you if you'd like. And he told me that that impact of that stone from a sling had the impact of a .45 caliber slug from a pistol. So if the guy is standing at the doorway and he's got a spear and a sword, and I got a .45 caliber hollow point bullet with several shots, and he's 30 feet away, who's going to win? The bullet is going to win. David, you know, the story of David and Goliath, thinks the big thing against the little thing. But in David's mind, it was totally different. It was my God against the heathen. You are mocking my God. You are cursing his people. And you are saying things that should not be said. And today is the battle. And it belongs to the Lord. Amen. In David's mind, it was very clear. In David's mind, he could not lose. This guy couldn't catch me if he wanted to. He's an old giant guy that, I'm going to get you. And here's this 17-year-old athlete with a sling and a staff. I'll tell you what, David was not afraid of the adversary. Amen. Do not be afraid of the giant that is coming against you. Amen. It's not the giant that you should fear. Amen. It's knowing that God is on my side. Amen. It's a huge difference. Amen. I think I'm at verse 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. Didn't think much about him. Didn't really take him even as a threat. He thought it was an insult. They would send such a little guy to fight me. Why are you sending a boy to do a man's job? I'll tell you what. A boy that is anointed of the Holy Ghost can slay a giant. Amen. 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 That's the truth. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair, a cute boy at that. Verse 43, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with a staves? You're going to beat me with a stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. This guy is just throwing gasoline on the fire. He is just making the resolve of David more concentrated. Verse 44, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. My God will defeat you and all your buddies. God is going to give a total victory today here in this place. Amen. I tell you, the enemy that is fighting against you, the enemy, the sin that is in our world, the adversary, the devil, cannot win this fight. I've read the back of the book, and we win. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's already established. Amen. It's already the truth. Before it even happens, God tells us what's to come. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 47, and all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with a sword and a spear, not like man thinks, not like human thinking thinks, not like the world thinks. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, where he had those stones, and took thence a stone, and he slang it, and he smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sank into his forehead. Helmet that came down to his, helmet that came down to his eyes, and came up to his nose, a little slit for his eyes to see. And that stone went right in that opening, hit him in the forehead, and that stone sunk into his brain. Like a 45. Like a high-powered handgun. Yeah. And he fell upon his face to the earth. Boom. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. So he was dead while he was standing. And then he fell over. Smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. He left that back there with the king. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took the giant's sword and drew it out of the sheath. Two-handed. You can imagine. At least I can imagine. Maybe you can't. I can imagine God gave this guy a victory that only through God could he possibly win. Amen. And he slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, I believe he was already dead when he hit the ground. But the reason why he used the sword was to show his buddies that this guy didn't trip. This guy didn't just fall down. This is kind of gross. But when he cut off his head, the enemy knew that their champion was dead. Amen. I tell you, when God gives you the victory, when God gives you the victory over the giant that is attacking you in your life, when God gives you the victory in your family, when God gives you the victory in your children, when God gives you victory on your job, when God gives you victory in your home, when your life is made anew and fresh and powerful in the presence of God, the whole world is going to know that you've won the fight. The whole world is going to know that God is on your side. There's not going to be any question about this battle. They saw their champion was dead. They fled. Verse 52. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines, until thou cometh unto the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell by the way to Sheraim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. They didn't just leave the battlefield. They left the country. They left and kept on running. Amen. This contest of David and Goliath is so well known. Between these two men, it's a well known fact. In fact, it's become a part of our culture. Amen. The story of David and Goliath. It's the giant against the little guy. It's the corporation taking over a mom and pop business. Amen. It's the society taking over a family. Amen. It's the great big thing against the little thing. Excuse me. David versus Goliath. Today's concept is that Goliath must win. David doesn't stand a chance. Looking through the eyes of David, Christians realize that Goliath did not stand a chance. Amen. We look at it with a whole different mindset. Amen. God is on my side. Amen. I know who's going to win this battle. Amen. God will see me through. Amen. Praise the Lord. David's arrival at the Israelite camp. David didn't understand. He couldn't conceive why the soldiers of Israel stood there day after day, morning and evening, time after time, allowing the challenge that Goliath gave to go unanswered. Why didn't they do something? Is there not a cause? Won't somebody stand up to Goliath? David had fresh in his memory those encounters with the lion and with the bear, and how that God had delivered him, and how that God was on his side. And he was motivated by this challenge that this Goliath was giving. And he realized that Goliath did not stand a chance after that David arrived at the camp. Amen. David's biggest battle wasn't with the giant. David's biggest battle was with his brother. Did you get that part when I read that in the opening? It was his elder brother that came against him. I know the naughtiness of your heart. You just came to see the battle. You wanted to watch the show. Why you've left those sheep, you've left your family. Why are you even here? You know, the world is going to want to play that same trick on you. The world, the devil, Satan, who is a liar, is going to want to think, going to want you to think, why do you even go to church? Why do you even try to live that way? Why are you doing the things that you do? You're going to fail. You don't have a chance. You cannot possibly live that way. You're going to fail and not make it. It's too late to tell me that. Amen. See, God, when I asked Him to forgive me, God forgave me of my sins. Amen. I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in water, in the name of the Lord, and my sins were remitted. I spoke in tongues when He filled me with the Holy Ghost. You see, I've been through the battle. Amen. And God always wins. Amen. All the time, every time, every place, and with everyone, God always wins. Amen. David's battle with his elder brother. Eliab resisted David, refused to fight with his brother. David didn't come to fight with his brother. If David would have picked up the fight with his brother, the Philistines would win this battle. David didn't come to fight with his brother. The scripture reveals how many times that God caused the enemy to destroy each other as God's people worshiped the Lord. Often the devil tries to turn this brotherhood, tries to turn ourselves against ourselves, that we would, oh, well, he said, she said, or they did, or, oh, it's what they did is so bad. I'll tell you what, if you are speaking against a brother or sister in Jesus Christ, you are fighting the wrong battle. It's not your brother that is the problem. It's the enemy. Amen. Who is the enemy? It's not my brother. My brother's really not against me. Now, I don't see eye to eye and agree with everybody all the time, but we serve the same God. We know His name is Jesus. We serve the Lord together. We're a part of the family of God and in the household of faith. It's not my brother that is my enemy. Stop fighting your brother. You're in the wrong battle. The other week, Brother McDonald was here. He told about a colonel that was in the World War II, and he's Polish, and he was a champion, you know, a leader. But they were on horses. And when the German tanks came rolling in, guess what? He's fighting the wrong battle. Your brother is not the enemy. Stop fighting your brother. Amen. The scriptures tell us again and again how that God gives us the victory. Amen. We need to recognize who the real enemy is. Amen. We are not each other's enemy. We are the family of God. We are a team put together by God to evangelize our world. We are the body of Christ, the church. Goliath is the enemy, not our brother. The Philistines could have sat back and watched God's army spill over a conflict between brothers. The church's cause is still victory over the enemy of God's kingdom. Look here, devil. This is the church. We are a family in Jesus Christ. We are a team of Christians that are living for God. And we are working together under the anointing and the power of Jesus Christ to do His will. We are not to fight amongst ourselves. We have to recognize who the enemy is. God was only looking for someone to stand up against the enemy. Amen. God is able to use a youth, a young man, to fight this battle. Amen. You see, Saul, he never put on the armor. He never would volunteer to go down to the fight. He never went against Goliath. And yet, later, he was so jealous of David that he put together 3,000 chosen men in the Israelite army. And they went on a manhunt to go find and kill David. Can you imagine the confusion in the minds of the soldiers? We are going to go find and kill the man who saved our nation? The man that God used for a victory? We're out to get David? I don't know how they put together in their mind how that could possibly be, but it was. It was because of the jealousy against his own brother, his own servant. And jealousy caused that great rift, that great tear, that great disagreement, so much so that the king, Saul, wanted to kill. He tried to spear him with a spear. He tried to send his army to find him. He tried everything that he knew that he could, that he would. But God delivered David out of his hand. Amen. Many will not fight against the devil's influence. They just keep feeding in that junk in their mind. They keep on feeding in the worldly reports. They'll keep on believing the lie of Satan. And they aren't worshiping in the house of God, and they aren't being faithful to the Lord, and they don't show up at prayer meetings, and they're feeding the enemy. They're fighting the wrong battle. The devil is the enemy. Oh, man, I got to hurry up. I got another point I got to make. They get Goliath mixed up with David. Amen. Jonathan, the king's son, became David's best friend, closest confidant. David was very weary. He was running for his life. And God's answer came with the footsteps of Jonathan, the king's son, a true friend and a brother. 1 Samuel 23, beginning at verse 16. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David unto the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel. Jonathan knew that David would be king. And I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul, my father, knoweth. Even the king knew David would be his successor. Amen. They made a covenant, Jonathan and David. A covenant, a truce, a pact, if you will, between the two. Amen. The spirit of Jonathan. Amen, is what we need in the church. We need to have a loyalty to the Lord and to His cause. There really is a cause. There really is a purpose. There really is a reason to fight the enemy. And the enemy is not my brother. Mephibosheth, David's reminder of Jonathan's kindness. In 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse number 1, David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? David had become king. Saul and Jonathan were killed in battle. And David was asking, Is there any of his descendants left that I could show them kindness for their sake, for Jonathan's sake? Verse number 7, 2 Samuel 9. Mephibosheth, the crippled son of Jonathan, was led to David. David said, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. I'm going to take care of you all of the rest of your life. Don't worry about a thing. Amen. David was very kind, very generous to Jonathan's son. David never forgot that during the dark time of his life, that a brother called Jonathan came to encourage him in the Lord. Amen. Encourage your brother in the Lord. Come on back to church. Maybe you messed up. Maybe you fell down. But get back up and come with me. And let's go worship the Lord. Let's be in the house of the Lord. Let's magnify the Lord together. Let's lift up His name and praise the name of the Lord. With all our flaws, the Lord Jesus has invited us to be a member of His church, of His body. Amen. We can all sit around His table together, even with our flaws. Our enemy is Goliath. It is not my brother. My brother is not my enemy. Goliath is the enemy. That big thing in your life is the problem. I have one more point. I'm going to close. Using David. In fact, I'll tell you what the point is. The point in closing is to worship the Lord thy God. Amen. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. Don't ask Satan to follow you around. Get behind me and follow me. No, get out of here. Leave, Satan. Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Somehow we need to learn how to worship the Lord thy God and to serve him. You might think, well, I see that y'all are raising your hands and clapping and singing out loud, and you pray out loud, and everybody's praying. I can't understand what anybody's saying. Well, tell you what, they're not talking to you anyway. They're worshiping the Lord. David was going to be king. But first he had to survive the onslaught of Saul. He was running for his life and ended up in the church house of God. Let me pick up this story, 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse number 6. So the priest gave him hallowed bread. He's running for his life. He's hiding in the house of God. He's looking for food. He's hoping for weapons. He's running for his life. For there was no bread there but the showbread. The showbread was the bread that they used in the tabernacle. Amen. In the house of the Lord. It was holy. And that was taken before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. So he had day-old bread that came from the altar of the Lord. It came from the tabernacle. The Lord has a way of providing for our needs when we serve the Lord. If you'll put God first, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. Amen. Maybe your problem is you forgot God and you're getting yourself in trouble. Put God first, and God will see you through. 1 Samuel 21, verse number 8. Verse number 8. And David said to Abimelech, and is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapon with me, because the king's business required haste. He was getting out of Dodge because they were trying to kill him. He was running for his life. He didn't have back to go get his stuff. He was fortunate to get out alive. Verse number 9. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. It was in the holy place. It was held in a sacred location. It was a piece that represented the victory that God gave over the Philistines. By the way, Philistines lived in Palestine. Does that tell you anything? They've been fighting for a really long time. Philistines. Anyway. Palestines and Philistines is the same thing. Same people. Verse number 9. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take it, take it. For there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that. give it me. So he's got the sword that he killed or that he sliced off the giant's head with. And he flees for his life. He's running on the run. He's fleeing from the king. 3,000 soldiers are searching after him. He's run. There's nowhere safe in the land he can go. And he flees to Gath, to the enemy's territory. It's safer with the enemy than it is at home at this point. Excuse me. And David arose, verse number 10, and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Verse 11, and the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? Isn't this the same guy? The enemy is going to recognize who you are. They recognize David. But you know what? That really doesn't matter. That isn't the deciding factor. Verse number 12. And David laid up these words in his heart. Yes, God has given me great victory. God has seen me through time and time again. God has seen me through every battle. He delivered me from the paw of the lion and of the bear. He delivered me from Goliath. He gave me the victory so great and beyond my wildest imagination. God has seen me through over and over and over again. And he begins to worship the Lord. He begins to praise God. It might have started out kind of little, but as his mind is racing and as his thoughts are going around in his head, he begins more and more, and he gets more demonstrative. He gets more excited. He loses. He forgets about his composure, and he's worshiping God with everything that is within him. Let me show you this. This is awesome right here. The king of Gath, the Philistine, remembered David. Doesn't matter. Pull out all the stops. Worship God anyhow. Don't worry about the enemy. Don't worry about where you are. Don't worry about your situation. Go ahead and worship God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your life, with all your soul, with everything that is within you. When you really, really, really are in a hard place, it's time to worship the Lord. When nothing else you know could possibly work, it's time to worship the Lord. Let me show you this. Verse number 13, 1 Samuel 21. And he changed his behavior before them. And he feigned himself mad. Someone say mad. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. Feigned himself mad in their hands, and he scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. He didn't care if something was dripping off his chin. He didn't care what he looked like if his hair got messed up. He didn't care if they liked it or not. He was worshiping God with all of his heart. All of his mind, all of his strength, everything he had was at this point in worshiping God. You say, well, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, look in the Word. The word mad in this verse is H-A-L-A-L. Halal. Someone say halal. I don't speak Hebrew very good, but I do have a concordance. It's halal. Strong's number 1984, if you want to look it up yourself. To make a show, to boast, clamorously foolish, to rave, to celebrate, boast, praise, shine. That's how I know what David was doing. He was worshiping so much and so hard, it looked crazy. It looked, this guy's lost his mind. He was already a worshiper. But this hard spot brought David to a whole new level. Maybe you're a worshiper of God already. Maybe you believe in worshiping the Lord. Maybe you believe in raising your hands. Maybe you believe in praising God out loud. Maybe you believe in getting out in the aisle or going down the side. And maybe you believe in worshiping the Lord already. But when you are in a hard spot, if your baby is so sick that you can't help, if your health is so bad that you can't fix it, if the doctors don't have the answer, if you're in a place where you don't know what the how to solve this problem, if you get yourself in such a fix that you cannot fix it, then, Sister Brown, like you were saying on Monday night, it's time to worship the Lord. Go ahead and pull out all the stops and go ahead and worship the Lord. Don't worry about what the others think. Don't worry about what others say. Don't worry about what people might think. Worship the Lord on a whole new level. Achish the king. The king thought David was crazy. He did. Verse number 15. Musicians, would you come? We're closing right here. 1 Samuel 21, verse 15. Have I need of a madman? Someone say mad. This mad, M-A-D, is in the English, it's the same word that was used when David began to worship. But this word has a whole new meaning. Let me give it to you. I'm sorry. I got to go back to verse 14. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? This word mad is S-H-A-G-A, Shaga in Hebrew. It's Strong's number 7696, if you want to look it up yourself. It means to rave through insanity, to play the madman. King Achish thought, this guy has lost his mind. Why did you bring him here? Get him out of my sight. David just wanted to leave in peace anyway. God delivered him from this wicked king without even requiring a battle. By worshiping the Lord, delivered David from this trial. Amen. I'm telling you, worship is powerful. Worship can do more than you have ever known. Stand with me. Turn to somebody and say, I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you're here today. Amen. This is my family. We are the household of God. Amen. We are here to serve the Lord. Amen. This is not a show. This is not, you know, this is, we're not trying to impress you with things, but we are trying to get you to worship the Lord. Would you turn your attention to Jesus? Would everything that we do or say, would it turn to the Lord? Amen. In fact, come on up. We're about to close. Come on up. And we're going to gather for just a few minutes. We're going to sing a worship chorus. And we're going to praise the Lord. In fact, I'd like to ask you, maybe today, you're going through a giant-sized problem. Maybe there's something within you that you don't have the answer for. You may not be able to fix everything. Well, you know what? Then it's time to praise the Lord. Amen. Would you give it to Jesus? Would you worship the Lord with me? Even as we sing, as these words go, would you praise the Lord and magnify God? Worship the Lord with me in the closing moments of this service. Worship the Lord with me.